Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll begin there. Hebrews chapter 10. We've got some great things that have been going on around in the church. I want to just give a heads up, kind of an acknowledgement, because it's kind of all hit like a whirlwind. A couple weeks ago, we had our men's dinner out at the Rotary House, had a great time with pizza, and Twan shared his testimony. Man, what an amazing story. We've posted that testimony on our website, so if you'd like to go, if you weren't able to make it, but you'd like to hear Brother Twan's story, his life story, his family background is fascinating. So if you'd like to listen to that, it's still on the website, and we were really blessed. And then a week or so later, the ladies met and had their ladies' tea. It's quite a different menu than us guys eating pizza, but they did have a good time. And I tell you, Sister Rose, from what I hear, just did a bang up job praying and prophesying over you ladies that came. It was a wonderful, wonderful time, life-changing. And so we praise God for all these capable ministers of the gospel around here. And then last week we had Philip Baker. And, you know, I didn't tell Philip what to preach. He asked me what I'd been preaching lately. But it was interesting to me that he preached a message that was essentially this idea. Believe. Yeah. Believe. Believe big. Amen. So he's continuing the theme. Our theme, the previous Sundays has been the walk of faith, and that's what we're continuing on today. The walk of faith is the title of today's message, and the idea of continuing. So if you have your Bibles in Hebrews chapter 10, and verse 35 is where we'll begin on this idea of continuing. Let's pray over the word before we get into it. Father, we just thank you for opening our eyes, opening our ears. We bind any distraction from the evil one that would try to lure us away from the attention of the word, and we just thank you that you give us a sound heart, a good heart that produces a harvest today from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. Look at that verse there with me. I'm going to read it in the King James Version. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now I want to just hover a bit over those verses. Let's look back at verse 37. For yet a little while, I want to encourage you today, if you've been waiting on God for this or that, you've been praying, you've been believing, you've been standing, the scripture admonishes us this way. For yet a little while, say a little while.
A little while.
And he who is coming will come. You know, there's a saying that's going around. I didn't think it up, and I'm not sure who originated it, but it's really good. And it says this, if you're willing to stand as long as it takes, you won't be standing very long. It'll seem like a short time. And that's what this verse is talking about. It says, yet a little while, and he who is coming will come. Jesus will come through for you, saints. I'm here to tell you today, remind you today, he who is coming will come. That's from verse 37. Now, the just shall live by faith. It's interesting that that verse starts off with the word now. Faith is always tied to now. Amen? So the question comes up today, where are you now? Are you in faith today? You don't have to answer that out loud. It's a rhetorical question. Are you in faith? Does today find you in faith? Does it find you wavering? Does it find you in doubt, discouragement? Where does today find you? Because faith is always about now. Amen? It's always about now. Now the just shall live by faith. But if they draw back, in other words, if they start to slide back into doubt, unbelief, my soul, God, this is God talking. God says, my soul will have no pleasure in it. God delights in faith. He delights in it. You want to make God happy? Just believe. Just believe. You'll make him awful happy if you believe. And then in verse 39, it says, we're not of those who draw back, but we are those that what? Believe. Believe. As Ben brought up in our church name, part of the name has to do with fellowship, right? And that's what we're going to do here in a couple weeks, game night. It's going to be a great time. And then the other half of our church name is believers. We are those who believe. Amen. Say, I'm a believer.
Believer.
I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
Hallelujah. You may not feel like it, but you know you need to say that about yourself. And these are good verses to confess over yourself. I am not of those who draw back unto perdition. That's an old King James word that means evil. it's being out of the right way. And you ought to say that over yourself on a regular basis. I'm not of those who draw back, but I'm of those who believe to the salvation of my soul. Hallelujah. That's who we are, saints. Paul told Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Why would he say that? Because anytime you're involved in faith, it's going to be a battle. Faith involves a fight. You might as well embrace it, all right? Embrace the idea that you're going to be involved in a fight. Why? Because we have three forces working against us: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Are you here today? The world, the flesh, and the devil will do their best to see that you and I are not in faith. But here's what the scripture says. Jot these down if you're just taking notes. 1 John 5:4. You have overcome him by faith. It says, your faith is the victory that overcomes the world. 1 John 5:4. That's a good one. And that's a good one to say over yourself as well. My faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Your flesh has to do with senses, what you sense, what you feel. If you're believing God for healing, you might feel pain in your body, but what does the word say? The word declares you're healed. Romans 3:4 says, let God be true. Let every man, all flesh be a liar. Let every man be a liar. Let God be true. And let all men be a liar. And you need to tell that to your own body sometimes. Your body will be talking to you. Your body's telling you you're sick. The devil plays on these fleshly bodies. He lives in it. He is trying to rule this fleshly world. And he will bring symptoms. You know, it kind of reminds me of that scene in The Wizard of Oz where they got real sleepy in the meadow. Remember that? Oh, I just feel so sleepy. Sometimes the devil will whisper in your ear, because he always talks in first person, or often talks in first person. I feel so sleepy. You ever find yourself saying, I feel so sleepy? And sometimes we're like dumb robots saying exactly what he just told us in first person. I feel so tired. I feel sick to my stomach. Because he told you that. Let every man be a liar. Let God be true. Amen? Your flesh will deceive you. Your body will talk to you. Talk back to it. That's what people of faith do. They talk back to their body. And thirdly, the devil. Well, Colossians 2:15 already tells us that Jesus made a show of him openly. Jesus made a show of him openly. Let me go back to that flesh thing, too. There's another verse I want to share with you. Romans 4:19, if you're taking notes. Romans 4:19, go back and read it. It says, Abraham considered not his own body. You know, we give a lot of creed to our body. We need to give more creed to this word. Give more creed to your spirit, what you know to be true, than your body. Your body will do too much talking. And the devil will talk too. Let me say this about the world. The world will try to push you one way. The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. You got to push back. In fact, if it's been a while since someone around you at work or around your neighborhood or whatever, in your social circles, if there's a lot of unbelievers around you in certain areas, if it's been a while since they kind of made a comment, maybe a wisecrack, maybe a joke, ribbing you about how you're a little bit odd, you might want to check yourself. We should be a little strange to the world. Amen? You know, I'm out of tune. I consider myself unplugged in many ways from the world because I don't get my value system, I don't get my entertainment, I don't get my economic security from this world. I get it from the kingdom. And so if someone at work's talking about something and then I give them this blank look like, I don't know what you're talking about, and they go, oh, Scott, yeah, you're so out of touch. That's a praise, man. That is a compliment. We should be a little strange to those people. I'm not saying totally weird. Now, don't be a goofball. But you should be strange to the world. Why? Because we're not tied into the world. We're tied into faith. We are believers. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4:1. You know, some parts of the Bible are like eating broccoli. Or spinach. Or Brussels sprouts. Whatever it is that you don't care for necessarily, but it's good for you. And this verse has always not set well with me. It's been like eating a bite of unflavorful whatever. But you know, the Holy Spirit has a way of just putting the right amount of salt on it. A little bit of sugar helps. Honey maybe. Whatever it takes for me. The Holy Spirit can do that for a verse. And he did that this week for me, Lois. So let's read it together. I'm real happy to read it now. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Notice he says expressly. That word in the Greek language has to do with a flow. In other words, the Holy Spirit's been saying this over and over. Paul said to Timothy, he said, I'm telling you something. The Holy Spirit's been telling me this over and over and over again, Timothy. He says, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, now that's an end time verse. We know that. And seducing spirits, we always think of the sexual aspect of that, but it's more than that. A seducing spirit is anything that lures you away from the truth. And Paul said to Timothy here, he says, the problem why these people will be led away in the end times is because of what they give heed to. So I want to ask you today, what are you giving heed to? See, that, I like that word heed. I like old King James words. There's some King James words that are just good. They're tasty. It's got that medieval flair to it. Heed, what are you giving heed to, my brother? You know? It means, what are you listening to continually? What are you listening to continually? Now, I know we read our Bibles. I know you're here in church today. Praise the Lord for that. I'm glad for that. But you know what? We have 6 days the rest of the week that we're not in here. What are you giving heed to? What are you giving heed to? I wrote this down. It's pretty good. I think I might copyright this. Your relation to faith is tied to the voice you prioritize. I think that's pretty good. Your relation to faith is tied directly to the voice you prioritize. See, your body will talk to you. The devil will talk to you. This world will talk to you. How much of the outside influence is having your ear? Because your faith will be affected by which voice you prioritize. And Paul said here, the problem with these believers in the last time, why they're going to fall, is because they have given heed. In other words, they quit listening over here, and now they're listening over here to spirits that are luring them to wrong thinking. They're luring them away from faith. Satan will always pull us away from faith. That's why it's good to come to church. Amen. If it's an atmosphere of faith. And this is. We are believers fellowship. Yeah. We are an atmosphere of faith. Amen? We're going to stay that way by God's grace. So I ask the question, are you listening to the Bible most of the time and then the devil some of it? Are you listening to bodily symptoms and intellectual reasonings Monday through Saturday and then the Bible on Sunday? It's not enough, saints. It's not enough. The Holy Spirit brought something to my heart recently and I didn't quite understand it. I kind of get the gist of it, but he said the weakened glory cannot contain the glory. The weakened glory cannot contain the glory. In other words, God is wanting to pour himself out in our lives in a rich and 24/7 way. And to just experience it on the weekends when we come together at church is not enough. God's saying, I want more. I want your whole life. I want the glory flowing in you 24/7. I want praise in your homes, not just here in the sanctuary. Maybe it behooves some of us to turn the TV off and turn on some praise music and just let it roll. Change the atmosphere in your home. Let it be a place of peace. Why? Because God's glory is designed to fill our life 24/7, not just while we're here at church. Jude said this, the apostle Jude. You know who Jude was? He was one of the earthly brothers of Jesus. James, that wrote the book of James, and Jude, who wrote the little tiny book. You like short books? You read Jude. It's one chapter long. Come on, you can't have an excuse. I haven't read my Bible today. Read Jude. It's one chapter. And Jude had just a little bit to say, but it's full. And he described our faith this way. He said, your most holy faith. See, faith is holy. It's sacred. It's a sacred thing. And God wants you to protect that faith. He wants you to build that faith. He wants you to continually grow in faith. And the devil's doing everything he can to tear down your faith, to talk to you through outward circumstances and your bodily symptoms and discourage you from faith, your situation around you, to try to pull at you and get you out of faith. Brother, sister, when you're in faith, you're at rest. Amen. If you're in turmoil, I would ask you to check your faith. Paul asked the question in the book of Corinthians. He said, examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. You got anxiety brewing around you? I'd question if you're in faith at that moment. Because faith is always a place of rest. It always involves a place of peace and rest. And Jude called it our most holy faith. By the way, how many of you enjoyed episode 4 of The Chosen this last week? Ooh, man, that was good. 5's coming out next week. You better catch up, some of you folks out here. You, We're already into season two, I'm telling you. All right, Colossians chapter 2. That's all on the commercial side of things. Colossians 2. Colossians 2, 6. We covered this verse a couple weeks ago. I want to read it again. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Look at the word here. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. I like that word, continue. That's what we're talking about today. Continuing in faith. See, it's like a race. It's not enough to start with a great start out of the blocks. That's wonderful. But how about a mile down the road, 2 miles? If you're running a marathon, you know, you better get down way down the road, much further than that. 3, 4, 5, right, Dan? Way down the road. You better pace yourself. And Colossians 2:6 here says, continue just as you started. Let's read it again. Let's look at it slowly. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the what? Faith, as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Saints, you can't be too thankful. You can't be too full of faith. Trust me, we'll let you know when you've hit the ceiling. But you can't be too thankful. You can't be too full of faith. I'm telling you, there's an enemy out there. He rests not day or night to tear us down in our faith. And you need to do everything you can. How do you build faith? You say, Pastor Scott, how do I build faith? Praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues. If you haven't got your heavenly language, stop one of us before or after service or during. Just come up anytime and say, I need that, what you're talking about. We'll pray for you. You'll get it. Jude says you'll build up your most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost. You know the verse in Romans 10. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. You determine that. How much word you put in you is how much faith you will grow in. And then surround yourself with other believers of like precious faith. The Bible actually says we provoke one another to good things. Amen? We provoke one another. Have a faith buddy or two or three that you can call on when times are tough. Man, you call them up and say, man, I need prayer right now. You need to have someone in your life like that, a faith buddy. And be able to call on them in tough times, because the enemy will come at your most vulnerable spot to shake you in your faith. But he says here, continue just as you've started. Continue in the faith. Look at Numbers chapter 21. We're going to hit a lot of scripture today. I'm going to fill you up with the word. Numbers 21, verse 4. Numbers chapter 21. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Fourth book in from the left. Numbers 21, 4. And we'll begin reading in verse 4. And this was actually pictured, what I'm going to read here, this was pictured on one of the beginnings of one of the Chosen episodes. I don't remember which one, but it's kind of odd. It'll strike you funny, and you go, what is this about? Because they do these flashbacks to the Old Testament. And so this was one of the flashbacks when this story happens right here. Numbers 21, 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Have you become much discouraged because of the way? That's another rhetorical question. Just hang on to that, okay? Verse 5, and the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loathes this light bread, talking about the manna that was fallen from heaven. And the Lord sent fiery serpents. Say, fiery serpents. Well, that word fiery in the King James simply means venomous. It means these weren't the good kind of snakes, Alan. These were the bad kind. This guy loves snakes. These were the kind that needed to die. But the Bible calls them fiery. That means they were poisonous. They were fatal among the people. And they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. You think? For we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. By the way, this is the icon in the medical world that you see on an ambulance. You see a pole with a serpent? It comes right from this story. It's right out of the Bible. It's American. Yes. Set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. King James is awesome in there. When he looketh. How many of you are looketh-ing today? See, this is the thing about faith. It's not enough to have the t-shirt that says, once upon a time I looked. You got to have a mindset that says, I'm looking. I'm looking. I'm looketh-ing. I'm looking every day, every day. He says, when you look upon it, you will live. In verse 9, Moses made the serpent of brass, put it upon the pole, made it, and it came to pass that if a serpent bit any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. You should circle that word beheld or whatever your translation says there. Looketh and beheld. Looketh and beheld. When you behold, you will live. Did you hear me? When you behold, you will live. You say, I don't feel very encouraged right now. I don't feel in faith right now. Are you beholding? Are you looking? That's what this story teaches us. You got to behold. You got to look continually. And that's how your faith stays strong. And that's how you live. Look at another example in the Bible. This is in James, the book of James, which is way at the other end of the Bible, just right after Hebrews. Hebrews, James. James 1:25. James chapter 1, verse 25. Are you there? Yes. But whoso what? Looks or looketh. Again, King James talking today, much in church. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth, say continueth, continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed or in his doing. How do you be blessed? I want to be blessed. I don't want to have been blessed, Rose. I want to be blessed all the time. You say, I want people to say, how are you? I'm blessed. I'm blessed today. I was blessed yesterday. I was blessed last week. I want to walk in the blessing. And James tells us how to do that. How do we do that? He that looketh. He that continueth. Are you looketh-ing? Are you continuing? That's the question today. The walk of faith. It's not enough that you had faith back in 1954. I don't know why I always go back to the 50s, Lois. It's a good era. It just sounds good that far back, you know. Some of you were hanging around back then. All right, let's look at another verse. John chapter 6. Moving right along. John chapter 6. Look at the language of the Bible on this idea of looking and continuing and beholding and and this other verse I'm about to read. John chapter 6. Look here in John 6:35. Jesus is talking. I was reading this one day recently. I think in our daily Bible reading, or the Lord just led me to it. But John 6:35. Jesus said this. I'm the bread of life. He that cometh. Say cometh. Amen. What do we have to do to partake of the bread of life? We got to cometh. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth, say believeth, believeth on me shall never thirst. It's important that we're always coming, that we're always believing. You say, well, I did that once. I'm a believer. Yeah, I know. Guess what? You leak. Your faith leaks. You sprung a leak, all right? Your faith will leak out if you're not coming and feeding and eating on Jesus continually. That's what he's teaching us here. Look at verse 51. The last part of verse 51, later in the chapter. He says this, I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat, say eat. Eat of this bread. Did you eat yesterday? I did. But guess what? Today's a new day. I have to do what? To survive. I got to eat. He said, if you eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Look at verse 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood. Again, that's in the continual present sense. Not enough that you ate, not enough that you drank. You got to be eateth-ing, drinketh-ing every day. Amen. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. If I were to ask you today, do you have eternal life? I might ask you last week, maybe you were on a high spiritually, but the question is always about today. Today. He that eats my flesh, drinks my blood, has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. One more verse, verse 58, the last part. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat the manna and are dead. He that eateth, Say Edith one more time, and I'll promise you that's the last. Edith of this bread shall live forever. Folks, we got to eat and eat and eat and eat and eat to stay in faith. It's a marathon. The Christian walk is a marathon. It's not a sprint. How many of you discovered that early on? It's not a sprint. I've been at this a long time, and I feel like I'm just like getting started. I just think, Lord Jesus, help me get down the road. But this is a lifetime marathon. And the only way to sustain a marathon is what? You've got to have nutrients coming in you continually. Look at those guys. They wear those camel things and hose around to their mouth. You know, they're drinking continually, right? Stopping at those little tents, eating the snacks, and then run on some more. That's what we have to do in the Lord. He that eateth, he that drinketh, oh, I said it again, sorry. I said I wouldn't say it anymore. That he that feeds on me, Jesus said, he will have eternal life. This is a walk of faith, and it involves continuing. You say, what is this faith we're talking about? This faith we're talking about looks back to the finished work of Calvary. I'm not going to expound on faith today in a general sense. There's so much to preach about it. My main point today was the fact that we need to continue. You got that, right?
Yeah.
Or do we need to read those verses again? No, I think you got it. And Jesus says we got to continue. This faith looks back to the finished work of the cross and says, it is done. It is done. You see, Isaiah looked ahead 700 years from his lifetime. He prophesied Jesus 700 years in the future. And he said this in Isaiah 53:4. He said, and by his stripes we are healed. Isaiah was standing at the foot of the cross in that moment. It was in this vision, whether it was an inner vision or something he saw with his natural eyes, we don't know. But as he's writing the book, he's describing Jesus being whipped by the Romans. If you've ever seen the movie The Passion by Mel Gibson, great movie about Jesus dying for our sins. And in that sense, Isaiah is seeing this vision before his eyes 700 years before it happens. But he's there. And he says, it's real. The Lamb is being whipped for us, and by his stripes we are healed now. He said it 700 years before it ever happened. The Apostle Peter, 700 and some odd years later, looks back to the cross and says, and with his stripes we were healed. Faith is always now. It always puts us in the place of the finished work. I'll say that again. Faith is always now, and it always puts us now in the place of the finished work and the benefits of it. The finished work. Hallelujah. Scripture declares in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is. Now faith is. Amen? Faith is always now. It's always now. You know, electricity's been around since the dawn of time. But think about it. It's only been about, 200 years or less that we've been able to tap into it? But it's been here in the earth the whole time. Can you imagine that? 6,000 years or more of human history, and they lived without air conditioning. I was born for this generation. I was born for this time in history. I'm supposed to be in the 21st century. I love air conditioning. I cannot imagine Adam and all these people from the dawn of human history till now living without electricity and all these good running water. Think of it, Twan. I mean, commodes. All the good stuff in life. Microwaves. We'll get off the other subject quick. Microwaves. You know, we were born. This technology has been with us all these thousands of years. But only in this season in history have we tapped it. See, your healing is already accomplished. I'm not preaching on healing today, but here's a little side note. Your healing is done. Isaiah saw it 700 years before it happened. He said, we are healed. Peter said it looking back. We were healed. It's done. Faith is always, it's done. It's done. You just need to tap it. Faith is powerful. Well, we got much more to say about it. Next week, I can hardly wait to preach next week. I'm so excited to preach. Don't miss next week. It's the finale of this series. You're just going to be kicking yourself if you miss it. Let's look back at Hebrews 10 one last time before we close today. I just want to read these verses one more time slowly. But we're going to talk about finishing well next week, finishing this race of faith. We're in the middle this week about continuing, eating, feeding. building our faith constantly. Next week, we're going to talk about finishing this race of faith. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's look back at these verses one last time, and we're going to wrap it up today. Hebrews 10:35, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense. Say great recompense.
Great recompense.
Everyone who ever believed received great recompense if they did not cast away their confidence. I mean, there's a great reward coming for those who believe. Amen? He says, great recompense and reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that comes will come and will not tarry. Mm-hmm. The Bible says he is faithful even when we are not faithful. You say, well, I've been believing for years. Don't quit. Yeah. He is faithful. He will come. He will come. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back unto perdition, but of those that believe to the saving of the soul. That's who we are. That's who we are. Stand together with me. You may be here today, and you say, I've never really stepped into this life of faith. I've never really become a believer in Jesus Christ. Let's just bow our heads for just one moment in the Lord's presence as we finish out today. I want to give you an opportunity if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never prayed to do that. Maybe you've never asked the Lord to come into your life, to forgive you of your sins, to wash away your sins, and to make you a new creation, to make you whole and holy in His eyes. If that's you for the first time today and you say, that's me today, I want you to just raise your hand right where you're at. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out, but we're going to pray a prayer in a moment together. We'll pray it as a group and ask the Lord to do that, to just come in and be your Savior and be your Lord today. And if this is, you say, well, Scott, I've been saved before. I've been a Christian, but I've fallen away. I'm away from the faith. I'm here today just by chance, but I've heard this message and I want to come back to the Lord. This is my day to return to Jesus. If that's you as well, just raise your hand right where you're at, and we're going to pray a prayer that will fit that as well. Anybody at all, raise your hand right there. You want to receive Jesus and put your faith in Him completely, or you want to return to Jesus? You've been away from Him. If that's you, please raise your hand. We're going to pray together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we thank You today for calling us into this amazing life, the life of faith. You've summoned us to walk with heroes, men like Isaiah, Paul, the 12, men like David, Moses, Abraham, who followed You with all their heart, Caleb, who at 85 took on giants in order to obtain the promise. Thank You, Father, for the hall of faith before us. Today, Lord, we join our hearts with those men and women, and we say, we believe. We believe You are a good God. You are a faithful God. You are true to Your promise. And it's our desire, Lord, to finish this race well. It's our desire to continue in faith. And I just pray over Your people today, Lord, right now where the enemy's bringing discouragement, where they're feeling weary because of the way. Lord, right now in Jesus' name, rather than backbiting or evil speaking coming forth out of their life, I just declare in Jesus' name, encouragement comes to them. Encouragement comes to them. Lord, a fresh well of water for them to drink from, a fresh well of faith to spring up in their life and to feed them and nourish them so that they can continue their race and finish well. Thank You for it, Father. And I declare breakthrough today in our lives, that those who have stood, I just declare that in the coming days, they will see the great recompense of reward that You promise. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. For You said, for yet a little while, and He who is coming will come. And we believe it, Jesus. We believe Your promise, and we stand in faith today. I thank You for grounding us in Your word and in faith, that we will not waver. We'll be like Abraham, who did not waver at the promise through unbelief, but was strong in faith and gave glory to God. Hallelujah. Let Your glory be upon Your people today as their faith grows in You. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a great week in faith. And we love you. We'll see you next week. And it's going to be a good one. Don't miss it.